But I remind you that He sent His Son for all of us, not just for a few.
Amen.
And that includes all those that are in the world.
Yes.
He sent His Son for all that were in the world. And a lot of times what happens is we have a church mentality. And God has a global mentality. And so this morning, if we could just bow our heads, because without His understanding of what He's trying to do, we're going to be in our minds and we're going to try to figure out things. And what we really need to do is understand Him. So I come before You, Lord, with this word this morning and asking You to bring clarity so that all of us can grow and mature in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Now, in Mark chapter 11, Jesus is actually getting ready for this particular day. And he gives His instructions. And I'd like to jump into this where at verse 1 says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethany, or Bethage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of His disciples, saying to them, go into the village ahead of you, and just as you enter, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Remember I told you about the donkey? Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this, tell him the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. So there's a message there. The disciples are going because Jesus gave them a word of knowledge. They went and found a colt outside the street, tied at a doorway. And as they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? And they answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. Now, notice the power of the word. Jesus had told them what to say, when to say it, and the results are freedom. They're now, in a sense, taking off with somebody else's donkey. Think about it. I mean, would you let somebody take your dog out of the front yard, tied to a post, and just let them get away with it, unless the Holy Spirit was already active in the person who owned the donkey?
Amen.
And knew the Lord. So you see, the quality of the word of knowledge in Christ Jesus is what He wants to build in you and me. The quality of the release that will happen when people obey the Holy Ghost. They'll let their dog go. They'll let their donkey go. They'll let God use whatever He wants whenever He needs it.
Amen.
I should have heard some amens there. Amen?
Amen?
Now, we have a tendency to try to protect everything we own. Okay? Don't touch it. It's... Is it really yours? What if the Lord needs your donkey?
Gotta let it go.
Remember what I said to you when I asked you to let go of the palm, okay? Which is really you and me sometimes waving in the wind, wondering, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? I don't know what to do. Let it go! It's not that hard. It's a choice you make. The Lord needs what? My stubbornness? No. He needs my obedience. Amen?
Amen?
And when they brought the colt, Jesus threw their cloaks. Okay? When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, He sat on it. Many of the people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread what? Branches. What did you do? You released your little branch to the Lord just to clear the path, to make it so that it's green and fresh. Okay? And it's alive. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and blessed is the coming kingdom of our Father. Is David in the grave? Well, not his son. Because Jesus is the son of David. All right. Hosanna in the highest. Verse 11, Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple, and he looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. And when he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Now think about it. That speaks loudly about Israel. Israel was supposed to produce fruit in season, and it wasn't producing any fruit. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. Wow. That means the Jewish nation had accomplished its purpose. No more would it feed the world. The word of God. Okay? And his disciples heard him say it. And on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. And would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for a few nations? Why do you think this church is called a house of prayer for all nations? I'll tell you why. Because 10 years ago, wearing these exact same shoes, God sent me to the place in the garden. And I went there twice. It's the only place in Israel I went twice. It's kind of strange when you think about it. Because everything is confirmed in two or three witnesses. And when I was there, Gail and I were there, the Lord did a marvelous work in me, but I didn't understand it then. But at the garden site, the trees that are there are 2,000 years old, because I never knew that olive trees are not like normal trees. What happens is, let's say this was originally the tree and it's growing right here, okay? Well, they actually rot from the middle. And when they do, they just fall. But the root system all around it grows new trees and they interconnect. And that happens to rot and fall. But then the root system out here starts growing new trees. So there's new trees all around, and they're actually one big tree with a hole in the middle. It is very weird. And when you see these trees, I mean, it would take at least three, sometimes four people to actually be able to encircle one tree, because they're that big. And they've been there for 2,000 years. And the anointing in there was so intense that I kept crying. I couldn't see the trees. I couldn't see nothing. And then the Lord told me, because I was disturbing the people, you know, the tour guide is trying to explain all this stuff, and I mean, I'm not there. I mean, my brain is wherever, and my head is full of tears, and my eyes can't see. My nose is all stuffy. I can't breathe. And I'm saying, God, what are you doing to me? And he tells me to go out in the courtyard. And there's a courtyard which with a gate, and now I'm standing in front of this huge church. I mean, the front door would probably be about, I would say, 15 to 18 feet high. And the door itself would probably be from here to here. And there's two of them. So I opened the door because the Lord says, open the door. And I did. And as I did, I saw the inside of this big church. And now I'm bawling my eyes out. And he says, back up. So I back up. And as I do, I see the sign up on top. And it says, the house of prayer for all nations. No, the church for all nations. And I thought, oh my God. And sometimes when you watch the news at this season, you'll see it. Literally, right next to the road, you see this great big church, and it's very colorful because it's got all kinds of mosaics on the top. And I can't remember what's on top. Don't remember that part. But what I remember is my bawling that didn't stop. And when you walk into the church, and when my eyes did finally clear up, you see the sanctuary part, and they have no benches. There's only a certain section in the middle. And there's maybe room to sit maybe a couple of hundred people, but there's probably room for a couple of thousand to stand in there. That's how big it is. So in the front area, there's like a little gate and a little altar rail. And so I went there because that's what the Holy Spirit said. Go kneel down next to the altar rail. So I knelt down like here, and like over there is where the altar is. And there's a little gate over here. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go and open the gate, and I want you to go inside. Well, hey, wait a minute. Nobody else is doing this. And I still can't see straight, because I am still crying. So I finally get up, and I'm going to obey the Lord at any cost. And then I lift up my head, and inside of the gated area is this huge, big, dark stone. And it's surrounded by a round picket fence like on the top, and it's got like a barbed wire going around it. And then I realized that that's where the altar is, which is the big stone that you see Jesus. Many pictures are of him where he's actually laying over a big stone. Well, that's where he was crying out, let your will be done. And he said to me, go in there and do this. Touch it. Touch the stone. Well, I was starting to feel a little tiny bit better. And so I finally got in, and in the minute I touched the stone, it was like turning the faucet right back on, full blast. So I recovered from that, and 2 days later, the Holy Spirit asked through this tour guide, how many would like to go back? And my mother had not been able to go that day when I was there, which was, I believe, on a Thursday. So they said, if those want to go back, they can use the little bus and we can go back. Wow, that was an opportunity of a lifetime. So I said to Mom, do you want to go? Of course, I had told her what had happened to me a little bit. I told her I cried. And that's about all I knew. I didn't tell her anything else. And God put her through the same exact paces. She knelt in the same place. The Lord told her to go over and open the gate and to go touch this stone. And she wasn't going to do it. And finally, I went with her and we went through the gate and she touched the stone and the same thing happened to her. She turned 82 on the way home because it was her birthday. Now she's 92. And just a few weeks ago when my aunt died, she said to me, you know, out of all my journeys, out of all the things that I've done in 92 years, the highlight is going to the Holy Land. That is something that I never thought was possible, but only God could have made it possible. And so what I'm saying to you is this. You know, there are things that Jesus did, but when they become your experience, when they become something that's tangible for you to touch, and it becomes real to you, nobody can make you change your mind. Nobody. No matter what they do to you, no matter what they say to you about that wonderful Savior, you are going to defend him, which he doesn't need defending. But you're going to defend him and you're going to fight for him. How many have ever fought for him? And you felt like a fool? Because you do. You feel weird. Okay? But you defend him. Well, the emotions get in there sometimes. It depends on who you're fighting. Okay? Depends on who you're battling with. Sometimes you don't, and sometimes you do. So, be aware. You know, he really doesn't need defending. He can really speak for himself. He can really get in through and really touch every single one of you. And even those who don't believe. Because again, I remind you, he says, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, all nationalities. Now, the next verse says, but you have made it a den of robbers. Why? Because when they would go in, they had to change the currency. Because under that time, the Roman government was using their currency. You had to use their government-issued dollars. When they entered the temple courts, in order to pay for a sacrifice, which was some kind of an animal, okay, could be a lamb, they had to pay, but they had to exchange their money. And guess what? They took advantage of the people. And instead of having an exchange rate that was fair, they cheated the people. And Jesus knew it. So he was upsetting their plans. So who's in charge of the bankers in the United States? Who's in charge of the bankers of the United States? Jesus is. Why are you hesitating? If he wants to overturn the tables, he's going to do it. Okay? Why are the interest rates low right now? It's because the Lord has allowed it to happen. Last year at this time, you paid almost $3.54 for a gallon of gas. What are you paying now? Who's in charge? Who's in charge? You understand where I'm coming from? I'm trying to let you know he is not short on energy. He's not short about knowing if the bankers are cheating you. He's not short about exposing those on Wall Street that are robbing the people, like Madoff. And I'm just using that as an example. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm trying to show you it's the same Jesus that's still on the job, that's turning up the tables, and he's angry at some of the slavery that is being created by Wall Street and Washington. And I'm not picking on those that are trying to do the right thing. I am telling you, they're not going to get away with anything without God's permission. So pull back. Don't get angry. Don't be upset. Let Jesus take care of it. Look at your neighbor. Say, Jesus is still in charge.
Jesus is still in charge.
Amen?
Amen?
Verse 18. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him. Why? He exposed them. He exposed their robbing of the people. The whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. And when evening came, they went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, 20, they saw the fig tree withered from its roots. Withered from its roots. Meaning it's dead from the top to the bottom. Even what's underground is gone. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look. The fig tree you cursed has withered. Now verse 22 you better hold on to. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. So what's your job?
Not to doubt.
Not to doubt. How many know that they have received the word and then they started to question the word? I've been there. And doubt is really like little seeds of thoughts, little patterns of thoughts that come into your head. And well, I wonder if he really meant it. I wonder if he really is going to construct something for me. I wonder if he's really going to build a family out of this mess that I'm in. Yes, he can. Well, I wonder if he's got a boyfriend for me. Oh, I wonder if he's got a girlfriend for me. See, all those things happen. But what happens if you doubt? You end up with zero. With the circle rubbed out. I'm serious. You end up with zero with the circle rubbed out. But if you believe and not doubt, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, how long does it take? To believe? As long as it needs to be. Okay? There was a testimony given to us right here this morning. God has done something, but it took 20 years. Yeah. Well, I don't want to wait 20 years. Well, then go without.
It was worth the wait.
But, do you want to speak?
I was just going to say that if you wait for that breakthrough, don't ever, ever give up, because it'll come to pass. Not our timing, but His timing. His perfect timing. So don't give up.
That's Otherwise, this young lady will go out there and kick your butt.
Well, no.
I can do that on his own.
But you're catching on? Don't give up. That's what the message is. Don't give up. Hold on. Hold on to the promises He's given you. And He will manifest them in due season. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So who's got the driver's seat on forgiveness? I do. Every single one of us has that key. If I choose to forgive, God forgives me. If I choose to hold it, God will hold it. It's up to you. So the release will come when you and I obey. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. Just pray in the Spirit for a moment. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. I'd like to remind you that the Holy Spirit has spoken to our hearts about Tuesday night. And Tuesday night, we're going to have a foot washing service. So you need to bring a towel. Okay? You don't need to wear your bathing suit or anything like that. We're not going to wash everything up. Just your foot. Okay? But the bottom line is, come prepared and prayed up. And I guarantee you, He'll meet you here. Our friend Doug will be with us on Wednesday for the feast. And I want to make sure that you are also here when the Lord speaks to you. We also have, Doug will be with us on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Saturday morning as well. He's flying back Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, we will be free to be preparing for Easter and Resurrection Sunday. And Sunday night, we'll also be free to do what needs to be done for families, because I believe that we're adjusting the feast as far as the number of times we meet, because there's a lot of pressures from families, and we don't want to be creating a problem. Okay? There are schedules out there, and there's some up here. Also want to remind you that Monday, Pastor Jay will be with us from New York State, so that's going to be exciting. And what God does on Tuesday night next, the following week, I don't know. I'm going to be waiting for Him. I believe Ron and Evelyn will be coming. I'm not sure when Ron will be speaking, but God willing, there'll be an opportunity for him as well. So now, I want you to bow your heads. Say, Lord Jesus, show me how many palms to take home. And how many will be changed and healed. For the glory of our God. So, show me the way, Lord. To release them. Where they need to be going. Extend your hands towards the gifts right now. Father, I just release now the blood of the Lamb over these. so that your Holy Spirit will bring healing, not only to these, but to those that it touched, and the protection for the vehicles and the homes that it touches. I ask this now and believe for it in Jesus' name. Amen? Share some hugs with each other.